Welcome to Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Monka Winter, and today we continue with Chapter 94, Perek Tzadik Dalet. This chapter, which the Levium would sing in the Beis HaMikdash on Wednesday, the Medrash tells us Moshe composed and related to Shevet Gad, since according to some opinions in the Medrash, Eliyahu HaNavi comes from that Shevet. So, what is its connection to Yom Revi'i, and why Eliyahu HaNavi? Wednesday, Yom Revi'i, is the day that Hashem created the Maoros, the lights, the sun, moon, and stars. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us, very quickly, these turned into false gods, Avodah Zarah, and this was the beginning of idol worship. Actually, in Bereishis, we are told that Hashem had first created Or, light, on the first day. So what need was there for the Maoros on the fourth day? The light was too great, Chazal teach us, and so Hashem hid it for Tzadikim in future Olam Haba, in the next world, and replaced it with Mi'oros. The Mem means derived from that original light, but much diminished. In a sense, there is no clearer image of the imperfect nature of our world than these Maoros. If we would have that original Or, light, sin would be impossible, pain would disappear, and evil would be gone. It is this evil and this idol worship that Eliyahu HaNavi, perhaps more than any other prophet, fought so zealously, tried so valiantly, to combat and destroy. And so, right in the middle of the beautiful Shabbos chapters, and in stark contrast to the beautiful futuristic looks to Olam Haba, we have chapter 94, a very painful and real look at the difficult present. And yes, it is even more painful when we contemplate what the world could look like, should look like, after Prakim Tzadik Beis and Tzadik Gimel 92 and 93 have painted such beautiful pictures for us. And it is from this very painful perspective that we cry out, verse 1. Kael Nekamos Hashem, Kael Nekamos Hofia, God of retribution Hashem, God of retribution appear. Rav Hirsch explains that we're not asking Hashem to truly show himself. We get that we are in a Yom Revi'i reality, in a world of Maoros and not Or. But please, Hashem, could you just Hofia, give us a peek, just a tiny ray of light of truth? This darkness is so painful for us right now. Just a little hello, I'm here with you. You are doing okay, you'll be okay. Hashem, I just need that Hofia, please. And then I can go back to my difficult reality. Verse 2. Hina se shofit haaretz hashiv gemul al geim. Rise up, judge of the earth. Give the arrogant what they deserve. We, of course, can easily understand the connection to Eliyahu HaNavi and can almost see him standing on Har HaKarmel, challenging the false prophets of the Baal. Verse 3. Ad masai rishaim Hashem. Ad masai rishaim ya'lozu. How long shall the wicked Hashem? How long shall the wicked exult? Verse 4. Yabiu yidabru asak yisamru kol poalei aven. Shall they utter insolent speech? Shall all evildoers vaunt themselves? Again, this painful reality of the evil literally getting away with murder, hating, harming, persecuting, and not just that. The hardest scenes are when they are laughing and celebrating at the pain they are causing. Ad masai rishaim ya'alozu. And Hashem, you are silent. And it gets worse. Amcha Hashem yidak'u v'nachlascha ya'anu. They crush your people, Hashem. They afflict your very own. Hashem, last chapter you told us that we will be your Am HaNivchar, your chosen people, your Am Segula, your treasure nation. And they are crushing us, Hashem. How can this be? This root word of the word yidak'u is the same word as in chapter 93, yis'u naharos dachyam. It was supposed to be the evil ones who fall and are crushed. Hashem, they're doing that to us, your nation. And it gets even more distressful. Verse 6. Almana v'ger yaharogu v'yisomim yiratzechu. They kill the widow and the stranger. They murder the fatherless. Radak notes that when the most vulnerable and weak in society are the ones targeted, the unspoken message is clear. There's no one looking out for you. We can do whatever we want to you because you have no protector. And then in verse 7, they finally say it. Vayomru lo yireka v'lo yavin Elokei Yaakov, thinking Hashem does not see it. The God of Jacob does not pay heed. The Malbim adds another dimension to this chapter by positing that it is not us who cry out these words in pain. Rather, these first 7 verses are actually all the mocking and jeering words of our enemies, actually teasing and saying, if Hashem is really here, why doesn't he get up and take revenge? If he sees all that we are doing to his children, why doesn't he fight us? Why doesn't he stop us? To many of us, this invokes the painful Holocaust images of Nazis standing over dying Jews and laughing, where's your God? But now, Tehillim, and we, together with David HaMelech, begin to fight back. Verse 8. Binu bo'arim ba'am, uchsilim masai taskilu. Take heed, you most brutish people. Fools, when will you get wisdom? Rav Hirsch looks at the word bo'arim not as fools, but as those acting like fools. Rav Hirsch tells us these fools are not our enemies. They are us. We don't worry about correcting our enemies' misconceptions about us. We worry about our own. This is the worst danger. When we ourselves, so affected by our downtrodden state, begin to believe the lies our enemies say about us. You have no one. Hashem cannot, will not protect you. And so, to us, Tehillim cries out. Verse 9. Hanota ozen halo yishma, im yotar ayin halo yabit. Shall he who implants the ear not hear, he who forms the eye not see? What a ridiculous thought. We all have the capacity to see and to hear only because Hashem has planted in us these miraculous organs. Do you think Hashem himself can't hear, doesn't see? Verse 10. Hayoser goyim halo yochiach hamlamid adam das. Shall he who disciplines nations not punish, he who instructs men in knowledge? Haven't we learned yet from the pages of our national and international history that ultimately the evil do get punished? We've seen it so many times before. And that burning, painful question of why, if Hashem sees, does Hashem not punish? The answer is, Hamala made Adam Das. Because Hashem is not only the punisher or the king, Hashem is our teacher. And sometimes, the Malbim explains to us, Hashem will hold off punishing our enemies because there is something that we are learning through our suffering. And although these enemies, these Nebuchadnezzars and Titoses of the world, they plot and they think it is their plans that are destroying the Beis HaMikdash, verse 11, Hashem yodea machshavos adam kehema havel. Hashem knows the designs of men to be futile. In fact, when Titus began to brag about destroying the Beis HaMikdash, the Medrash tells us, Hashem said, you fool, I burnt it. You burnt a burnt building. You think you could have touched it had I not allowed you to? It's not their plans at all. Wow, what a powerful journey Tehillim has taken us on in this chapter. From feelings of abandonment and happenstance to the knowledge that it has been Hashem all along. And finally, to the lofty and sublime thought in verses 12 and 15, that these tumultuous times, these difficult moments in our history, it is Hashem's education. It is Hashem keeping us close to him. And that lo yitosh Hashem amo, Hashem would never, ever forsake his people. Actually, these ideas are starting to sound familiar. They are reminiscent of Tadi Beis 92, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. There is an interesting idea that the Malbim teaches us about the words in verse 15. Ki atzedek yeshuv mishpat, tzedek will mishpat turn. What are these two words? Mishpat is justice, the strict letter of the law, and tzedek is justice, but in context. In context of who would get hurt by this? Would this ultimately lead to the best conclusion? Is this the best time for it? It is the kind of justice that only an omniscient and omnipresent God could administer. And so, when we take the long look again at world history and see how ultimately there was justice, we are able to take the same look at our own story, our own challenges. But then, in verse 16, we recognize once again how very alone we are. Mia kum li im re'im, mi yatziv li im po'al le'aven. Who will take my part against evil men? Who will stand up for me against wrongdoers? For the life of the Jew in exile is lonely, as he recognizes that the world does not take our part, will not stand with us. And sometimes, in our own lives, as we face our greatest challenges, we also suddenly realize how very alone we are, that no one can win our personal battles for us. Lulei Hashem Ezra Sali Kim'at Shachna Duma Nafshi. Were not Hashem my help, I would soon dwell in silence. What is silence? Radak says this is the silence of the grave. Silence represents such helplessness when there is absolutely nothing to say. It is the helplessness and silence of loneliness, the awful realization of the pointlessness of crying out because no one cares. The unheeded cry by Abraham Fuchs about Rav Michael Dov Weissmandel's desperate attempts to inform the world about the genocide taking place in Europe and the many plans he shared of how to save lives and all the times he was turned away and silenced by those who could have, should have helped. But this understanding does not silence us after all, because we do have one to rely on. Verse 18. Im amarti mata ragli chastacha Hashem yis'adeni. When I think my foot has given way, your kindness, Hashem, supports me. At first glance, we read, when my feet are stumbling, Hashem, you support me. But the Radak's wording in explaining this verse is fascinating. Im chashavti, this is Radak, im chashavti ki mataragli begalos bavel, chastacha she'asisa im harishonim, v'she'ata ose imanu b'chol yom, hu yis'adeni. Lomar yis'ad levavi ki lo tamat ragli. When I thought that my foot has given way in the Babylonian exile, the kindness you have done to the early ones and that you continue to do for us every day supports me, meaning supports my heart, that my foot will not give way. You see, it's my heart that needed strengthening, not my foot. Imagine the vulnerability, the helpless anxiety of the Jewish exile in Babylon. Banished from his land, the Beis HaMikdash in smoke, his world had fallen apart. I thought it was over then. I thought I would fall, but then I remembered your love, Hashem, and I also recognized the chesed that you continue to do for me, even here in exile. Chastacha Hashem yisadeni. It is your kindness that has supported me and given me strength, and I realized I will not fall. Verse 19, Berov sarapai bekirbi, tanchumecha yishashu nafshi. When I am filled with cares, your assurance soothes my soul. Remember the plea at the beginning of the parak? When we were begging for a sign, a peak, a quick light? Kael nekamos hofia? As is the case in so many chapters of Tehillim, David has found that reassurance, and he has found it within. As a baby who has made the exciting and world-altering discovery of object permanence, that his mother continues to exist, even when he can't see her, we too are discovering that truth. Hashem was with us in Mitzrayim. He was with us at Yam Suf. He was with us in Babylonia. And so he continues to be with us here in our lives. The greatest light of clarity is the light of our history, that Hashem has always been with us and continues to support us. This is the internal message of comfort that can always gladden us. Because living in a me'oros, a yom revi'i world, a world of me'oros instead of or, is only a world where we need object permanence. It is not that Hashem will be here less, it is that we have a harder time seeing. And after this process of search and discovery, we conclude this chapter, verse 22. Vayihi Hashem li lemiskav velokai letor machzi. Hashem is my haven. Hashem, my God, is my sheltering rock. And verse 23, he will make their evil recoil upon them, annihilate them through their own wickedness. Hashem, our God, will annihilate them. Ultimately, there will be justice, and we will live to see it. Thank you for studying together the Eloi Nishmas Sanya Finkelstein, Chana Sara Bas Chaim Leib.